Okay, what we're going to learn tonight, it's a continuation of last week. It's an explanation of last week, but you didn't have to be here last week to learn what we're going to do tonight. But for those of you that were here last week, this should help. I hope this will help to make things a little bit clearer. It's a beautiful mitzvah. Such an amazing, beautiful, and deep mitzvah that the Torah begins with, this parasha, lighting the menorah. So Hashem tells Moshe, Rabbeinu Daber el Aharon v'yamartu elov b'haloyzchos aneiris al mul p'nei ha-menor ye'iu shivas aneiris. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct Aaron regarding the mitzvah of lighting the candles of the menorah in the Mishkan. V'zeh ma'isi ha-menorah, mikshazov. So first the Torah says that the candles, the flames all face the wicks, the flames miraculously face the center. Ye'iu shivas aneiris facing the center candle. There's a mice and menorah mixture zohav, and the menorah itself is made of a single piece of beaten gold. Ad yurecha, from the base, ad pircha, the blossom, the flower, the shape. Mixture he, it's a single piece. Kamara shehera shemes moshe kain osas a menorah, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu to make the menorah, that's how the menorah was made. So regarding this mitzvah, which we've spoken about in previous years, Chazal say amazing things. Chazal tell us that Kodem Kol, that the Ne'er Ma'arovi was Doilek B'neis, that special candle was lit, would stay lit with a miracle, was miraculously lit, and it's hard to understand. So if Hashem is performing a miracle, that the candle is lighting on its own, that Hashem is lighting the candle, then what's the mitzvah of, that we have to light candles, which Chazal talk about. Bechila oira hutzarech, and bechlal, does Hashem need light? Hashem does need light, and if he does want light, he certainly seems to be able to generate his own light, as per the Ner Ma'arovi that was lit miraculously. And Chazal say that the Ner Ma'arovi, that special candle that was always lit, is Eidus HaShechina Sherebi Yisrael. It's testimony. It's proof, it's testimony that the Shechina Sherebi Yisrael, that the divine presence dwells within the Jewish people. That Hashem is with us. And we also have to understand the union of the menorah. Why is it davka? The Torah emphasized that it's davka miksha achas, that it had to be made from one piece, of gold. It wasn't allowed to be composed of different parts. And it was so difficult to understand. Chazal say, and Rashi brings down, Achin Iskasha, Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavin, until Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal say, didn't understand how is he supposed to make the menorah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Atel Toich HaEish, throw the gold into the fire, and the Toitzi menorah, and Hashem said, throw it into the fire and take out a menorah, v'kachav, and that's what it was, as Rashi brings down at the beginning of the parasha, Al Yideh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nasis Mi'aleo, that the menorah was made by Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make it, Hashem says, throw it into the fire, he throws it into the fire, comes out a menorah. To understand. Okay, now, for now, we're not going to talk about that now. For the next hour, about the menorah, just at the end, I'm interested to come back to it. But these are the questions. It's a very strange fusion of Ma'ase Hashem, of God's actions, meaning the miraculous candle that was lit, and the fact that the menorah itself was not really made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was me'aleha, by itself, Hashem made it. On the other hand, the commandment to light the candles, and for Moshe Rabbeinu to be the one to throw the menorah into the fire, it's hard to understand. So we're going to take a little trip, to try to understand one of the teachings of the Rebbe of Nosson Breslov. It's not easy. There's a lot of chizik, and the whole point of telling you this is really a few minutes of chizik, but it has to be dressed up in the parasha to understand the parasha. But the ikar, the essential point here, is the chizik that's revealed to us through the mitzvah of the hadlakas neis of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash. The tachlis of a Jew's life, the purpose of life, of a Jew's life in this world, is lehishtadel lahachnis b'libay ha'emuna ha'kedoysha kol yom yichadosh, which is that human being, that a Jewish person makes an effort each and every day to infuse within his heart in a new way, with excitement, with freshness, in a new way, to fill his heart with Emunah HaKadosh, with the holy faith of the Jewish people. And Hashem gave us an exalted mitzvah, which is to say Kriya Shema, which is to say Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKeinu Hashem Echad. And the need of Kriya Shema, to say Kriya Shema, says Hashem Nechim Mitzavcha Hayom, that I'm commanding you today. And everybody knows the Chazal taught us in that pasuk, Hashem Nechim Mitzavcha Hayom, that I'm teaching you today, that each day you should feel that it was just given to you. What the tzaddikim say about the holy Jew of Peshischa, that he was called the Yid HaKadosh, the holy Jew, because each day it was like he just became a Jew. And for each one of us, the tachlis of each life, of our lives, is not to understand intellectually Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's wonderful. We should have our whole lives to learn. But the tachlis is not just to come to a haskalah, to an intellectual understanding of that sentence of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. The tachlis is to scream out Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What do I mean? So the tzaddikim say, says Shema Yisrael. Listen. Shema Yisrael means listen, Jews, listen, Yidden. Pay attention. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Nelson said, it doesn't have to say Shema Yisrael. If the point here is a statement of faith, or a moment of intellectual speculation, to have the correct faith that there's one God, so it would be enough to say in Kriya Shema, just to say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what does it mean to say Shema Yisrael? Why do we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? So Nelson said that it's like when you hear some amazing news. Did you hear? Did you hear the latest thing? Did you hear what it just came in? Like when we heard the news that the Malchus of impurity, of deep impurity, fell in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a big simcha. Sabbath, did you hear? Right? We were up in the mountains with the school. Did you hear? Shimon Einenu, right? Instead, there's Binyamin. So, did you hear the news? Shema Yisrael, listen, there's something new. You never heard this before. So, Nelson says that really, when a Jew says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's as if you're saying, Shmana, listen, I want to tell you something I heard today. It's a gewaldige thing. It's something new. There's something new and something exciting that happened in my life. Then what's that? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That there's a hidor, like there's an announcement. And when you say it in such a way, then you lean over with your ears to hear what your own mouth is saying. It's Chazal Darsh and Chazal saying the Gemara in Brachas. Why does it say Shema Yisrael? It's a machlokes tanoim really. But it says, Hashmael oznecha masha tamoitze mipicha. Which means, listen with your ear to the words that your mouth is saying. Listen to what you're saying. Shema Yisrael. There doesn't have to be anybody else around. When you're saying Shema Yisrael, what you should have in mind is say, listen to what I'm saying myself. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's a gewaldige thing. Shema Yisrael. That's the tight. That's what the words mean. Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. For a person to be able to feel the excitement, as if that day you just heard the good news that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. We'll talk about this now. And to feel that excitement about the Emunah HaKadosh, about the holy faith of the Jewish people, as if just today you stumbled upon it. Somebody gave you a wonderful present. I think I once told you that I saw once a Maisa, that there was a little girl that was lost. And she was off lunch and she was going all over the place. And the whole town was looking for her and they couldn't find her. And of course, the parents kept on going into the night. And finally, the father told his wife to go home. And he kept on going into the forest, deeper into the forest. Until finally, he goes to a clearing. And Nebuch, the little girl, was terrified and frozen, and she placed herself under a tree, and she fell asleep. She was exhausted. She fell asleep under a tree. And the father was coming through in the dark, was coming through the clearing in the forest, and was moving aside the trees, and it made a certain rustling. Of course, it made some noise. And the little girl woke up, and she said, Abba, I found you. So, you understand that she didn't find Abba. Abba found her. But then she gave a scream, Abba, I found you. It's a hachroze, it's a proclamation. That's how Jew says Shema Yisrael, the Amun HaKadosha, that it shouldn't be something which is old and boring and still. It's not the same thing as yesterday. Shema Yisrael, listen to this. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The latest that just came in. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Something new. It's a new story. I mean, Meila, you want to tell everybody. When you hear a good piece of news, you want to tell everybody the good news. Shema Yisrael, listen. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So let's understand. Everything in the world, everything in the universe, everything that we could ever be is contained in Kriya Shema. And that's why it's explained in the writings of the Tzaddikim that there are 12 words. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchus Le'olam Va'ed, there are 12 words. And the 12 words of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchus Le'olam Va'ed correspond to the 12 tribes, to the 12 Shvatim, which corresponds to the 12 hours of the day and the 12 hours of the night, which corresponds to the 12 months of the year, which corresponds to the 12 configurations of the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that Yud Kei Vav Kei can be written in 12 different ways. Right? 12 different orders of the letters. In the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei can be written in 12 ways. So what does that mean? So the 12 hours of the day, the 12 hours of the night, the 12 months of the year, means the entirety of time. The entire duration of time. It means that Kriya Shema has in it the koach to fix, to illuminate, any time, every time. That's why it has 12 words. 12 hours, 12 months, never stops. The entirety of time, all of time, is contained within the 12 words of Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Kevod, Mechus, Le'olam Vo'ed. And the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes of the Jewish people, that means that every single Jew who will ever live can find faith, can find Emunah, can come to that new story of Emunah, of believing in Hashem and Kriya Shema. That's why there are 12 words that correspond to the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes. Every single Jew, because every one of us comes from one of the 12 tribes. That means that no matter what your way is in Avodas Hashem, if you're a Jew, then you have a shorish, then you are rooted deeply in the Emunah, in the faith of Kriya Shema. And that's why, in Shema Yisrael, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, in Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Kavod, Malchus, Le'olam Va'ed, there are 49 letters. There are 12 words and 49 letters. And if you take all the Shvatim, all of the tribes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc., and you add up their names, they're exactly 49 letters. The 49 letters of the Shvatim, the 49 letters exactly of Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Kavod, Malchus, Le'olam Va'ed. It means that every Jew, or any Jew, on any day, right? Because the 12 hours, the 12 months. Any Jew on any day. Any Jew, because it's the 12 Shvatim, the 49 letters, the 49 letters of the names of the tribes. Any Jew on any day. Whenever he happens to be, and whoever he happens to be, can be mechadish, can renew his emunah, can renew his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can come again to this new feeling of believing in Hashem. And that's why Chazal also say on the word Shema, the Gemara says, when it says listen, so Chazal say in the Gemara Shema, b'chol loshon sha'ata shomeya. Again, this is a question among the Tanoim, among the sages in the Gemara, but Shema b'chol loshon sha'ata shomeya means that Shema Yisrael in any language that you speak, b'chol loshon sha'ata shomeya. Whatever language you happen to speak, you can say Shema Yisrael. B'chol losh nata shemeya. So the deeper meaning of that is, this world is a world of 70 languages, And the 70 languages of the 70 nations mean it's a world of terrible confusion, of taivas, of all types of distortions and things that are pulling a person away from Hashem, the world of the 70 languages. So when Chazal came along and said, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jews, listen. And listen to your own words. Pay attention to what you're saying yourself. You know, sometimes when you're davening, I always say this, and that's why if you say it in English, it sounds so much more religious. You know what I mean, right? When you say it in, if you say, Ashur Shavisach, but when you say it, happy are those who dwell in the house of God. So, ooh, this is really religious. Sounds much more religious than in Hebrew. Because why? Because you're paying attention. You're paying attention to yourself. So when you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Chazal say, Shema is B'chaloshon HaTashat HaShemeya, it means that Kadosh Baruch was telling you, listen, you can hear this story of my being, of my existence. You can hear the story of my presence in the world. B'chaloshon HaTashemeya. B'chaloshon in any language, that means. No matter how badly mixed up you are, no matter how confused you are, no matter how lost you are in the 70 languages and the 70 nations and the 70 worlds that tear a person away from holiness, but when it comes to Hashem Echad, is b'chol lashon HaShemeya. No matter what's happened to you, no matter who you are, as long as you're a child, as long as you're a descendant of the 12 tribes, b'chol lashon HaShemeya. You can still hear Hashem Echad. No matter what averus you've done, no matter how you fall into the ways of the 70 nations and the 70 languages, b'chol lashon HaShemeya. Any language that you speak in all of the confusion of this world, you can still hear Hashem Echad. You can still come to that recognition, to that clarity of Hashem Echad. Well, now we understand why is it that the time of Kriya Shema in the morning, see that the day, the halacha divides the day into four parts. The day is divided into four parts. And the time of Kriya Shema in the morning is that first quarter of the day until Ad Shor Shlish is until the third hour. I mean, how we calculate that's not for now. But the first quarter of the day, the time for Kriya Shema in the morning is the first quarter of the day, Ad Shor Shlish until the third hour. That's the amount of Kriya Shema in the morning. Because just like the day of 12 hours is divided into four parts, each containing 3 hours. So you also all know that the 12 tribes were divided into four parts. And that's what we're studying in the book of Bamidbar, the camp, how the Jewish people lived in the Midbar, in the desert. So the Jewish people were divided into four different flags, into four different camps, four different directions. They lived in four different directions. So, which was the first flag? It was which grouping corresponded to the time of Shema. So just like in the 12 hours of the day, the first quarter, the first three, is the time of Kriya Shema. So too in the 12 Shvatim, the first quarter, meaning the first grouping of the three tribes was Degel Machna Yehuda. The flag of the tribe of Yehuda. Degel Machna Yehuda. And this the Machna, the camp of Yehuda in the desert, the camp of Yehud in the desert was Somach LeMishkan, was the closest to the place of holiness to the Mishkan. The Degel Machna Yehuda, the flag of the tribe of Yehuda, was right next to was closest of all the other Degolim, of the other flags, of the other camps, it was closest to the Mishkan. And the location of the Degel Machna Yehuda was Kedma Mizracha, which is the place where the east, it's the place of the Zvichas HaShemesh, where the sun first rises. So listen carefully. Just like in time, there are 12 hours in the day. And that time when the day begins to shine, remember last week we were speaking about the light that emerges from darkness, right? Rabbi Yalin Bachi Vila Boker Arena. We were speaking about the arena, the joy of the emergence of light from darkness. That was last week's shmooze. So, in time, the first 3 hours of the day, that's the first 3 hours of the day, which is the time of Shema. Meaning, that's the time when your emunah, when your faith in Hashem is so clear and you feel like it's new and it's exciting. It's the time when the sun first rises. So that's the first quarter of the day when the world becomes illuminated by God's presence. It's the beginning of a new day. And it's the beginning of that excitement of being a Jew, of Shema Yisrael. That's why during that time, that's new, that's fresh, that's exciting. When the light of emunah shines again, and the light of Hashem's presence shines again into your life, it's the first It's the first quarter of the day, the first 3 hours. We say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yidden, did you hear the good news today? The Baruch Shalom is one. And that corresponds the same way you have 12 hours in a day, you have 12 tribes. And the tribes are divided just like the day into four parts. And the first part, which contains three tribes, is Degel Machne Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda. And the word Yehuda is the... Everybody is a Yehudi, he's a Jew. What does it mean? It means whoever is Kofer B'Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says whoever rejects idol worship, if at least you reject, at least if you know what's false, at least if you know what's a lie. So Kol HaKofer B'Avodah Zarah, Nikra Yehudi, is a Yid, is a Jew. So the same way in time, the first quarter of the day is a time when there's clarity in this, and the world is illuminated by Hashem's presence, and that's when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So with the Shvatim, that's the time, that corresponds to Degel Machne Yehuda, and that's why that was right next to the Mishkan, because being next to the Mishkan means being aware of holiness, being close to holiness, having that clarity. And that's why the situation, the location of Degel Machne Yehuda was Davka at the east, because that's the point where the sun rises, that's the point of the shining presence of Hashem Yisbarach in the first quarter of the day, the first part of Klai Yisrael, which is Yehuda. So Kriya Shema in the morning, in that first quarter of the morning, corresponds or means that first shining light of the faith of the morning, of the belief, of the new belief of a new day. And that's why it's connected to Shevet Yehuda, which means to be a Jew, and it's next to the Mishkan, and that's the Degel Machne Yehuda, which is Kfir of Avodah Zarah, which is a rejection of all that is false, all that's not true. And so it is in the year that's divided into 12 months. The first 3 months of the year are Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. So just like in the day, the first 3 hours are the clearest. The first 3 hours when the sun rises, when there's that emergence from darkness that we were talking about last week, and there's an excitement of a new day, a new emunah, a new faith in Hashem. There's the excitement of being a Yid HaKadosh, a holy Jew, from Shevet, you know, Yehuda, being the first quarter. So two in the year, the first 3 months of Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, those first 3 months correspond to the first 3 hours of the day, and those first 3 months are the 3 months of the beginning of the Emun of the Jewish people. When we left Mitzrayim, we became Hashem's people. And the ultimate is the third, which is Matan Torah, which is Sivan, when we received the Torah, and our Emunah became clear, when Hashem told us, Anarchi Hashem Lekech, I'm Hashem your God. So the time of Kriyishma corresponds to the first set of the three Shvatim, which is Degel Machne Yehuda, and corresponds to the first 3 months of the year, Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan, which means clarity, which means Emunah Chadasha, new faith in Hashem. And that's when we say Kriya Shema. The first quarter of the day, the first 3 hours. Okay, that's good as far as Kriya Shema of the morning is concerned. So everybody knows that besides Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, there's also Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, there's Kriya Shema at night. And what's fascinating is the Kriya Shema of night is the Zman of Kriya Shema at night is called Alayla. The Zman of Kriya Shema, everybody knows the first Mishnah Brachas is a discussion, but the Lamaisa, the Zman Kriya Shema Shalayla, the time of Kriya Shema of the night, is you have the whole night to say Kriya Shema. The whole night. So we have to understand the difference between Kriya Shema at night and Kriya Shema of the day. And here we're going to touch upon some of the things that we spoke about last week. Kriya Shema at night and Kriya Shema of the day. The first mitzvah that a Jew does is Kriya Shema at night. The night before your bar mitzvah, the night before your bas mitzvah, right? It's the first mitzvah you ever do is Kriya Shema. The first mitzvah. I mean, unless before you say Shema, like, you know, you help somebody out or something. But the first mitzvah you chayiv to do, that you're obligated to do, the first mitzvah when you become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, the first mitzvah is the night before. The first mitzvah is Shema. Shema of the night. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, right? So Hashem created a world with light and darkness. And the meaning of the creation of light and darkness is not going to get into this a lot. We've spoken about this many, many times. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, we understand. Light means clarity, means happiness, it means Mashiach, it means all wonderful things. But the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created darkness, darkness means tzimtzum, it means concealment, it means hastara, it means misery, it means emptiness. The reason that Hashem created night, created darkness, was so that the human being should be able to be filled with the longing to seek Hashem. In simple terms, which we all know, that the human being should have bechira chofshis, that a person should have free choice. So in order that a human being should have free choice, in order that we should be able to, that the choice should be meaningful, so Hashem has created a world, which the Ramchal discusses at length in his Svarim, and all the Svarim talk about it. So Hashem created a world of tov v'ra, of good and evil, of or and choshech, of light and of darkness. And the whole purpose of there being darkness, which we spoke about last week, the whole purpose of there being darkness is that a human being in the darkness somehow, which we'll talk about now in a moment, that somehow the person should be filled with some sort of a longing and a feeling to seek, to find, to search for that or for that light, and to experience the great simcha, the great joy of finally meeting it, of finally finding it. So the schus of a person that serves Hashem, that is not given to him, that he does it on his own, that he earns his schar, he earns his reward, because he was schlepping around in the darkness and the schmutz, and he maintained his connection to Hashem despite the doubts and despite the difficulties and the temptations, he held on through the night. So the person who holds on through that time of la'erev yalin bechi, that person is guaranteed v'labokarina to experience the joy of the ayel hashachar, of the rising morning star. The simcha of having new amunah, of coming to new amunah. Just like in the relationships between people, and this is how Kosh Baruch Hu made the Jewish marriage. And the Jewish marriage is compared itself to a levana, and the woman counts time according to the moon. That Kosh Baruch Hu made it in such a way that two people should have renewed faith in each other and a renewed love in each other. In order to have that renewed excitement, that renewed faith, in other words, now this might sound a little bit corny, forgive me. But let's say we have a chasan and kala, a husband and wife, Avram and Sarah. Avram and Sarah, that's a nice couple. So that Avram should be able to say, Shimi na Sarah, listen to me, Sarah. I love you. Now, and she should be able to say in Shema Avram, and you listen to me. I feel that way also. In order that you should be able to say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Avram and Sarah through times of darkness. Darkness means separation. Separation and concealment. So that when that night is over, and when the time of separation is over, that there can be his chashis, there can be a renewal of faith and a renewal of love. Because during that time of the night, there was that ever-present hoping and waiting. So the Mimela comes to the morning, and one can say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Okeinu Hashem Echad. To hear something new. If it's something which is old, it's not something which is new. If your belief in Hashem, there's some of us here in the room right now, that our belief in Hashem is the same as when we were 5 years old. Or maybe even worse. But the Emunah already has like a long white beard and payas. It's already an old Emunah. It's not a new Emunah. The Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad means that only that person who struggles in that world of light and darkness comes to that hischatzis, that exciting awareness of saying, after all that I've been through, Shema Yisrael, listen, I want to tell you something. You know what I found out today? That despite all those things, and because of all those things, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So now we understand the difference between the morning and the night. Kriyashma of the morning, Kriyashma of the night. Listen carefully. This is Rav Nosson's teaching. This isn't mine. What Rav Nosson says, the difference between Kriyashma of the night and Kriyashma of the morning. Kriyashma of the morning means being excited, being happy, being filled with emunah, being filled with faith. That's the world of the first 3 hours when the sun starts to shine. That's the world of Yehuda, of being a Yid, of being a holy Jew. That's the Degel Machne Yehuda that's in the east where the sun appears. That's the clarity of Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. That's Kriyashma of the morning when you're all set and you're excited to be a Jew and you're happy and things are clear finally. In Chassidus, it's the time of Yisroos, the Lasata. It's an awakening, an arousal, an awakening from below. It means when the human being is filled with a cheshek to be a Jew, a happiness and excitement to be Jewish. And there's cheshek and rotzen at that time. There's a will and a desire and there's a simcha. That's Kriyashma of the morning of Shema Yisrael Hashem Akeinu Hashem Echad. So what's Kriyashma at night? What's the Shema of night? Krishma night is when you don't feel like saying anything. You don't feel like saying anything. You have no cheshek. You have no chiz. You don't feel like talking. You don't feel like saying it. You certainly don't have any new and exciting news for anybody, not for yourself either. As a matter of fact, you feel like you're mamish buried in darkness. So what's Kriyishma then? So it says in the Pasuk, Ki Aishav Bachayshach Hashem Orli, means that the Pasuk says that even though I sit in darkness, Hashem still shines a little bit of light on me. Ki Aishav Bachayshach Hashem Orli. Reb Leib Leges says that that's the mystery of the Sukkah, that a person should be able to see the stars through the Schach. Because the stars at night means that in the Choshech, in the darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Baruch, is Meir like Tzaz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you, it's not the sun, there's no blazing presence of His being, it's not that, you don't have that clarity, you don't have that excitement, but if you look good and hard, you can see through the cracks of this world, you can see the stars, the Kechavim Balayla. This is something that I've spoken about here before, and that I heard so many times as a child growing up in my house from my father, when I used to ask him about things that went on, things that he experienced. My mother wouldn't want to talk about what she experienced, my father did. And when it was bothering me so much about the Kadosh Baruch Hu and where was Hashem and all these things that were racking my brains through all those years, so my father's point with me always was that you couldn't see the sun during those years, but you for sure could see the stars. But you had to look hard. You had to look sometimes through the cracks in the cattle car. You had to look through the cracks in the bunker in the concentration camp. But if you were a person who was able to look hard, to concentrate, you would find that sudden flash of Hashem appearing in your life again. In the Choshech. Keshe b'Choshech Hashem Orli. In the Choshech, in the darkness, there's a little spark, a little tiny star of hope. The sun is not rising, it's not the first 3 hours of the day, it's not Shevet Yehuda, it's not Nisan, Iyun, and Sivan. It's the end. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you these little shining stars of His presence. If you're looking hard, Hashem sends you. You just have to be able to see them. And those messages that Hashem sends in the night, in Chassidus, of course, that's called Isra'usa Dela'ila, an awakening from above. When you have no koach on your own, and you think that you're falling apart, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you these little shining moments of His presence in the darkness to keep you alive. And it gives you a little bit, you don't know where it's coming from, you don't understand why you have a cheshek to go on. You know how many times Jews have told me, I don't understand why I still put on tefillin. I have, there's a certain woman, a Baal Shuva, a very choshev, a woman, that she was a very, very successful entertainer, and she became Shomeres Mitzvahs. She began to observe Mitzvahs when she was around 36. She's already 47, 48, and it hasn't worked out with the Shidduch. Nothing's worked out, and her health hasn't worked out. And ever since she became attached to Kedusha, she's had only tzaras. I don't understand what keeps her going. Yeah. Well, she also doesn't understand what keeps a person going. That Hashem is Baruch sends these little impulses that you don't know that they're coming from Him. You can't tell, but for some reason. For some reason, we get vital, you know. For some reason, you keep on going. And for some reason, you have an ever so subtle emunah, an ever so subtle faith that it's going to be good. Zayin good. That somehow it's going to end. Somehow it's going to be alright. That there's a reason to continue. That you have a cheshik to go on. This is the meaning of the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which we've spoken about very often. Ani yishen avili bi'er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kol dodi dofek. The voice of my beloved is knocking. And Chazal say here that Hashem is the heart of the Jewish people. So even though I am asleep, Hashem inside my heart is giving a little tap that we shouldn't fall completely asleep and fall into despair and lose hope. Ani yishen avili bi'er. And the pasuk says over there Doidi shalach yodai min hachar. My beloved put his hand through the hole. And I was filled, my intestines was filled with a longing. In other words, to see an ever so slight, to detect a slight presence of the hand of the beloved in your life. Just menachor, there's a crack, and through the crack in the sukkah, through the crack in the cattle car, there's a little bit of a hand of the doid of the beloved. So then the Jewish people say, may I humble our love, and my intestines, my kishkas, are filled with unbelievable longing because of that little hand that I saw pushing its way through the crack in the car, in the darkness. And this is the meaning also, it says in the beginning of Shir Shir, Mashcheini Acherecha Narutzo. You understand, Mashcheini? That during the night Hashem has different ways of pulling us, of Mashcheini, giving a little pull on the strings, so that it gives us a cheshek and a desire of acharecha narutza to go after Hashem and to wait until the final will be that finally the morning will arrive. So now we understand. The whole night is kosher for kriyashma. The whole night. Kriyashma shel shachris, shma of the morning is the first 3 hours. Kriyashma of the morning is the first 3 hours. The first quarter of the day. But kriyashma of the night is the entire night. Now what's the chilek? Why is Kriyishma of the night the entire night? So Ibn Nosson says, Kriyishma of the day means my sense of excitement, my sense of joy, my personal awakening. My personal awakening. That's Kriyishma of the morning. That's Kriyishma of the morning. That's called Isus de Lasata, my own cheshek, my own rotsu, my own desire, my own will. And a human being's cheshek and desire, we all know, is something which is short-lived. It's there for a couple of minutes, but it's not a continuous presence in your life. You have cheshek, then after a couple of hours, it's gone. That's the first 3 hours is man kriyishma. For the first 3 hours, you scream out Shema Yisrael Shema. That's your work. That's your cheshek. You earned that. That's a wonderful thing, but you know how it is. It burns for a little bit, and then it fizzles out. But Hashem's enduring love, Hashem's continuous presence in the night. So kriyishma of the night is kol halayla. Kriyishma of the night is the entire night. Because Kriyishma of the night means Isus de Laila, an awakening from above. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilechol Rachmav, Hashem's compassion, Hashem's love is without a shear, it's without end. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. Once the morning arrives, then it's my parasha. The morning is my business. The morning is my illumination, my feeling of excitement and joy. A human being has limitations. But the nighttime is Hashem's shining, the little star shining, that is that subtle infusion of hope and of faith. So that's the whole night, Ibn says. That's not subjected to the normal constraints of time. It's not just for the first third, it's for the entire night. It doesn't stop. And it's even this time, even this last, this very, very end of the night of Golas, even now. So now we come to a famous disagreement that's been going on for thousands of years between the Jewish people and Hashem. We have a vikuach, a machlokes. What's the disagreement? We've spoken about this before. There's a disagreement. The disagreement is who goes first. And we've spoken about this. So Hashem says to us, Shuvu Eilai v'ashuvu Aleichem. Chazal spell this out. Hashem says, Shuvu Eilai, come back to me. In other words, you start. Hashem says to every Jewish person, you start. You come back to me, Vashuv Aleichem, and you'll see I'll come back to you. As you make the first step, you come to me. And the Jewish people respond by saying, we can't do that. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuv. So the Jewish people say, no, Rabbi Shalom. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuv means, Hashem, you make the first step. You first, you start. And if you start, is there a problem? A white thunderbird that's blocking the driveway? If you could please move it to whoever hasn't. So Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. We're all going to close our eyes for a second. Everybody should close and okay. Shkayach. So Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva means that the Jewish people are saying, Master of the world, we don't know how. We don't know how to take the first step, but we promise you this. You start, in other words, you come to us, v'nashuva, and we'll return to you. Hashivenu Hashem lech v'nashuva. And Chazal presents this as a vikuach, as it's a disagreement. And in the meantime, it sounds like as the Baruch Shalom was over there, and Klaius was over there, and each one is saying, you go. Now you start. I'll come, you start. That sounds terrible, no? Because it sounds like nobody's doing anything. Each one is telling the other one, you start. That's terrible. Because there's a huge gap that's separating them, and you just want to say, all right, so go. So start. So it seems to be that there's no solution to this. So Rabbi Nachman taught that it's not true. That's not true. But listen to this teaching. This is very, very simple, and it's so sweet, and it's so true, and it's the chizuk that I wanted to bring out from tonight. Rabbi Nachman taught that this isn't really a disagreement. I have to be careful to word this the right way. It's Hashem shtick. What do I mean by that? The Baruch Shalom has what's called in Hebrew taksis. You know what I mean? Taksis, a strategy. And what's the strategy? The strategy is like this. Hashem says, Shuvu elai v'ashuv aleichem. Return to me and I will return to you. And we say, oh, we can't do that. You make the first move. And yet, here we are after thousands of years. Whatever's left of us, we are moving, because we are keeping mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem, we're trying to be good Jews. So something must have happened. So it can't be that there's this standoff. So what happened? So Rabbi Nachman taught that in a very, very amazing and beautiful way, when Hashem says to us, Shuv Elai, return to me, that is the first step. You understand? That's already His step towards us. It sounds like it's not. Because He's saying, you make a move. But that feeling that a person has in the middle of the night, when there's no clarity, when things are miserable, when God forbid you're sitting in a place of concealment, and there's something inside you that for no explainable reason is telling you to move ahead with your life, that's because there's the master of the world who's saying, you start. So he's saying, I can't. So Baruch Shalom says, oh, all right, what are we going to do? But he already got you started, because he said to you, Shuvu Elai. That's what you're hearing. That's what it means, that star that's shining in the darkness. The Shuvu Elai is a kriya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to every person. That's the Haskol, that's the beginning. In other words, the realization that you have inside of you, and it's not something which is necessarily articulated. It's not something which is articulated. This is an abstract thing, obviously. I'm not talking about something that you could put your finger on, exactly how and when and what. But in an abstract way, that realization inside of you that Hashem is telling you, start already. No. That realization, in other words, He says, I'm not doing it for you. You have to do it. But when you hear that inside of you, that itself is a beginning. You understand? Who's telling you? You don't have to know that it's Hashem telling you. But there's that feeling inside of you that for some reason to go weiter and to get moving and to go ahead with your life. That realization means that you're hearing Hashem saying to you, listen, I can't do this for you. Shuvu Elai, you start. No, and then what do you scream out? After you have this feeling of Shuvu Elai, for some reason that you have to move ahead. In other words, then you say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elachiv Noshuva. I want to, but help me come back. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does help you. Because Lamaisa, that's your, in other words, you're already taking up the call of Hashem. There are people who feel this desire to go on, but they try to pull themselves away from it. But when you're a person who tries to move ahead, despite the uncertainties and the difficulties, you try to move ahead. So that means if you're hearing Hashem say, Shuvu Elai, and you're saying, I can't, Hashem, I can't. And Hashem's really saying, I already got it started. Then you feel and you scream out, Oba Hashiveinu Hashem Elachiv Neshuva. Hashem, Hashiveinu, you help bring me near Moshcheni Acharecha Narutza. So Hashem gives a wink and says, that's good. you're screaming. That's it, you're back in business. If you're not screaming, you're not in business. If you're screaming Hashiveinu Hashem, then you're in business. You know, that's your first move back to me. You're saying, I can't, help me. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, that's your first step. Screaming, davening, wanting to come to the morning. That itself is the first step. No, so what do we have to come, what do we have to clarify now? In other words, what do we need to strengthen within ourselves? We need to find out how is it possible to make that how is it possible to bring about a unification, a merging together of Shuvu Elai and Hashiveinu? That's the mystery. In other words, what's happening is that Hashem is Mo'er us, Hashem awakens us. But you still have to scream at Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'Neshuv. So how do you come to that? In other words, when you get that little zap of the Kriya Shema of the night, and there's that little star of Hashem telling you, Shuv Elai. So many people just ignore that. So how do you bring yourself to start to yell out Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'Neshuva? Because once you start to say Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'Neshuva, then you got it. Then you try to get yourself into learning, you try to get yourself into davening. So but how do you cross over? Now how do you make the cross between Hashem saying Shuvu Elai and you saying back to Hashem Hashiveinu Alecha v'Neshuva? How do you make that cross? How do you get over that difficult terrain? What do you do? So Ibn Nasan said, this is what you do. You say Tehillim. Let me explain why. You say Tehillim. Why Tehillim Davke? So Ibn Nasan said, in Tehillim, Chazal make a point of explaining that in Tehillim sometimes it says Mizmor LaDavid, and sometimes it says LaDavid Mizmor. Mizmor LaDavid means there was a song, David. LaDavid Mizmor means there was David who sang a song. So, simply put, Mizmor David means there's a song who sang David, and LaDavid Mizmor, there's a David who sang a song, right? Now, LaDavid Mizmor, we understand that David Mel sang a song. Of a Mizmor LaDavid, that there was a song that sang David. What does that mean? So Chazal say a very deep thing, that when it says LaDavid Mizmor, when it begins with David, that David singing the song, that means like creation of the morning, when you feel like it, you're excited, that's LaDavid Mizmor, it's me. I'm saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I am saying it. I'm saying Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'Neshuv. I want to be close to you. I want to get back to you. I'm saying Kriyishma, the first 3 hours of Shevet Yehuda, you know, of being a Jew and all that excitement of Shema Yisrael. I'm saying it. That's the David Mizmor. That's me. David. Everybody's a David. I'm singing that song of my Emunah. That's on a good day. But then there are days that are not good. And then what do you have? You have something that's called Mizmor LaDavid. What's Mizmor LaDavid? There was a song that sang David. In other words, there's Hashem singing from some place in that way of Shuv Elai, that little light of the night, of Shuv Elai, that little feeling of trying, that where you feel Hashem saying, come back to me, come to me. So when it would say, Mizmor LaDavid, it doesn't mean that David HaMelech was excited, it doesn't mean the morning, it doesn't mean singing his song. It means that somehow an amazing little thing happened, this song just popped into David, and where did it come from? Chazal say, from Ruach HaKadosh HaSalav. In other words, there are times that David HaMelech would sing and that would bring him to Ruach HaKodesh. That's called an awakening from below. That's Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. That's the first 3 hours of the day. That's Kriyas Shmos HaShacharis. David HaMelech would sing and that would draw upon him the spirit of holiness. Hashiveinu Hashem Lechem Neshuva. But then there were times in David HaMelech's life, everybody knows that they were terrible. Gam Kielu Begeit Salmovis. They were terrible. And what happened then? Mizmor LaDavid. There was a little bit of Ruach HaKodesh that would go into David HaMelech, and he didn't know why, but he went with it, and he started to sing. Mizmor LaDavid. So Ibn Nasan says, here's an amazing thing about Tehillim, that the whole Sefer of Tehillim is erasing the illusion of a disagreement between Hashem and the Jewish people. It seems on the outside, without Sefer Tehillim, as if Hashem is standing all by himself in his corner saying, no, come on, Shuv Elai. And we stand all the way in the other corner saying, no, I can't, Hashiveinu Elecha. And without Sefer Tehillim, it sounds like we are universes, galaxies apart, Chas v'Shalom. But Dovid HaMelech's Tehillim, Rabbi Nosson taught that Tehillim reveals that there's no machlokas. That when it was a time of Ladavid Mizmar, it was Mizmar Ladavid. It was Mizmar Ladavid, it was Ladavid Mizmar. That each one is reaching, is the beginning of the other one. In other words, that when it would be Dovid HaMelech in the morning, that would bring to the Ruach HaKodesh of Hashem coming to him. He would call out Hashivet Hashem Alechem, and the Shuvan Hashem would drop into his life. And then when it would be the night time, and Dovid HaMelech did not feel like singing, and Hashem would start Shuvay live, and Dovid HaMelech would always end up anyway with his song. Either way, Dovid HaMelech sang. Whether or not Hashem started, he started. It was all one song. No, an half minute, it looks like it's different. But really, Kadosh Baruch Hu is every moment sending those feelings. And Dovid HaMelech, every moment is receptive to those feelings and sending back his own heart. And the whole Sefer Tehillim is this du-siach, this conversation, this wonderful, wonderful conversation of emuna between Hashem and the Jewish people. And that's why you see in Tehillim, David Melech said, Hashem Sfosai Tiftachu Fi Yagiti Lasecha, that we say before davening Shemoneh Esrei, that David Melech said, Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, Hashem, you open my lips, Ufi Yagiti Lasecha, and my mouth will speak your praises. You understand what that means? David Melech is not saying, I am now going to scream out your praises, because you don't always feel that way. David Melech is saying, Hashem, I know that it's you that's opening my mouth. I'm going to say all this good stuff. Here it is. Here it is. You're about to hear this great stuff. Shemoneh Esrei, you're about to hear this wonderful thing. And I know, Hashem, it's coming from those little sparks that you're sending into me. Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha. Maybe you understand why is it then Kriyat Shema of the morning? The way that it works is that before you say Kriyat Shema, you say all the Kapitlach of Tehillim. That in Kriyat Shema of the morning, you say all the Psukei Dezimra, all the Halalukas. Right? Before you come to Kriyat Shema, you say Psukei Dezimra, you say Tehillim. The songs of David HaMelech. Because the songs of David HaMelech teach you that everything is one. You're longing for Hashem, and Hashem's longing for you. It's all the same thing. Shuvu Elai and Hashivenu, it's all one thing. There's no machlokes, everything is one. Hashem is always pouring good things into you. And you're always truthfully trying to hear Hashem, trying to come back to that song. Therefore, the greatest, most wondrous way to prepare. After the night. See, the night means difficulties and concealment. So every night, after the night of concealment, after the darkness. So after all of that, the way that you begin the day to get the energy going, to be able to scream out, Shema Yisrael, Hashiveinu Hashem, the way that you come to that is through Tehillim. The way to come to that is through Sefer Tehillim. And that's what we say, Psukei Dezimra. And listen, you know how we end that series of Tehillim? Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka Halleluka, Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka Halleluka. First of all, the word Halleluka, Hallelu means us, and Yud Hei means Hashem. And you say it twice. Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka. Kol HaNeshama. Why do you have to say it twice? Because every breath of Hashem is in praise of the Jewish people. Every breath of Hashem is sending little stars of His presence into your life. And the Jewish people, every single breath of ours is a breath that's given to Hashem Yisbarach. Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka. The Chosn. And Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka is the Kalo. And that's how we get ready for Kriyat Shema. Because finally, after all of this of Kol HaNeshama Tehallelka, of Dovid HaMelech singing, of Dovid HaMelech bringing together the morning and the night, finally you could come to that kriya, to that scream of Nu Emuna, of Shema Yisrael. Did you hear Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? You know what it means, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? The simple pshat is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means that the same Yud Kei Vav Kei that means love, that means clarity, that means the morning, and Elokim, which means darkness and din and concealment, it's all one. Because even in the darkness, I now understand that Hashem always was with me. I understand that Hashem is always sending me these little stars, these little pieces of inspiration. I understand now. So you go through Sefer Tehillim, Mizmor David, David Mizmor, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. He never left me. That even in the Choshech, even in the darkness, and even in the din, and the Hestapadim, that Hashem was always there. You sit down in the sukkah at night and it's choshech mechushech, it's so dark, and you look carefully through the schach and you see the star. So then you could say, then you could start your day. Now you could get started. Hashiveinu Hashem alachivnu shuvi. You're looking for Hashem to come into my life. And moon is something new, something excitement, something different. Because I told you before that the only time you can sense that extraordinary excitement and that freshness of Emunah is Davka coming out from the night, which we spoke about last week. So now we understand that's why it is that all the 12 tribes are hinted at in the Kriyat Shema, that there are 12 words, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Kavod, there are 12 words for the 12 tribes and the 12 hours and the 12 months, because it means any time of your life, it's never ever completely dark. It's never, Hashem is never separated from you. That's what it means, your belief that Hashem is one, always He's with you. He's never away from you. He's always Echad. He's with you consistently. That's what it means, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's a simple kavanah to have when you say Shema. That Hashem is the same with me. He's always with me. He's Echad. He's consistent. He's one with me. So that's that. So therefore it corresponds to the 12 hours and the 12 months because it means always. And it corresponds to the 12 tribes because it means no matter who you are, no matter what kind of a Jew you are, no matter what's happened to you, what various you've done. Man, that's the meaning of what we spoke about once before that's found in the beginning. It's brought down from Ibn Achim, the beginning of Shtavchus HaNefesh. It's another Sfarim also, that the beginning of the book of Shmos that speaks about the Jewish people being in darkness and in exile, and tells the names of the tribes, right? The beginning of the book of Shmos says the names of the tribes. So it says in the beginning, Ve'ela Shmos b'nei Yisrael ha'boim. And these are the names of the Jewish people who are coming into exile, right? Ha'boim. So the last word, the last letters, Ela is a hey, Shmos is a sof, b'nei is a yud, Yisrael is a lamed, ha'boim is a mem, spells Tehillim. The Jewish people going into darkness, there's only one way to get out, that's with Tehillim. Eilish Shmoyz b'nei Yisrael haboyim, the final letters. You have to, because why is it the final letters? Because you have to look. You have to look. Just like at the beginning of creation, it says Bereishis bara Elokim. So what are the last three letters? Bereishis is a soft bar, is an aleph, Elokim is a mem. What does it spell? Ta. Spell reverse the letters. What does it spell? Bereishis bara Elokim. It spells Amos. Spells truth. So why doesn't it say at the beginning? Why do you have to make it in such a way? No, the pshat is that if you want it, you have to look for it. You know, you have to go. You have to go through the letters. You have to go through the words. So, Ve'elish, Shmoyz b'nei Yisrael, the last letters in Gullus, in the darkness, if you look carefully, you'll find Tehillim. And then, after that it says, Mitzrayma, Es Yaakov, Ishu Beso. Mitzrayma, the last letter is a hey. Es is a sof. Yaakov is a vase. Ish is a shin. Ubeso is a verb that spells exactly the word tshuva, to return to Hashem. So it's an amazing thing. It spells exactly the word tshuva. Ve'elish Shmoyz b'nei Yisrael haboyim, the last letter is spelled Tehillim. Mitzrayim Eis Yaakov Ishu Veso, the last letter is spelled exactly tshuva. Of Hashiveinu Hashem, tshuva elai, of Hashiveinu Hashem. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. And now, to understand, you get nervous. I think that means, what does that mean? No. It means another 5 minutes. The main problem with doing tshuva, the main reason that a person doesn't want to do tshuva, is because you don't believe, you have a hard time believing in Mizmor LeDavid. Everybody thinks that Hashem is saying, you start singing. You start to do tshuva. You do something. You're not doing anything. And that's why tshuva, the word repentance, when you hear the word repentance, like right away, like you feel like doom and gloom, or gloom and doom, whatever. Right away, like you feel, oh no, tshuva, that's like it's a bad word. Can't we wait till Elul talk about that? Tshuva, oy vey. And it always means like, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. They're taking all my toys away. And Hashem is telling me, you know, I'm in trouble, I'm in big trouble, I better do tshuva. So the difficulty with tshuva lies mostly in this feeling, especially with someone who's unfortunately drifted, God forbid, very far away, this feeling that, you know, I have to get started. And to get started is just a monumental task. It's very, very hard. If you feel it, it's like Hashem says, I'm not doing anything for you, you have to get started. That's very, very difficult. But when you believe, when you know, when you believe, that very thought that you have, that Hashem wants me to get started, that very thought, that Hashem's telling me to get started means that you've already heard Shuv Eilai. And when you understand that you've already heard Shuv Eilai, that means that you're already listening, you're already tuned in, you already, in a deep way, can realize that Hashem is the one who's starting. That Hashem is the one who's talking to you, that Hashem is the one that wants to get you started. And He already has gotten you started. He's gotten you started to the point that you're thinking, maybe I should do tshuva. Maybe I should start. But it's so difficult that you think that it's all like, you're all by yourself in your corner, and you have to carry the whole thing yourself, you can't do it. It's too much. But when you realize that it's not like that at all, but it's Mizmor LaDavid, Hashem is singing into you, and then you just have to come back and say LaDavid Mizmor. When you realize that Hashem is telling you every second Shuv Eilai, that's why you're even considering to come back. And you know, and then you believe that Hashem is not sitting far away with His head turned and say, well, we'll talk business when you start to keep Shabbos and put on tefillin and never do any averus and never talk Lashon Hara and never lie and never steal and never cheat. Then we'll talk. Right now we're not talking. It's not true at all. Hashem is sitting mamish next to you every single second. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And He's looking at you with tremendous hope and tremendous devotion. So now we can understand the need of the menorah in the Mishkan. Let's finish now with the menorah. So it's an amazing mitzvah, the menorah. Hashem did everything. It's an amazing thing. You have the candle, you have the fire, you have the oil, you have the wicks, you have the madlik, you have the person who's lighting. And it's all from Hashem, because it was all lit with the Ner Maravi, which is in it. It's all a miraculous thing. It's a wondrous thing. It's all lit in a miraculous way, and all the candles are facing the center in a miraculous way. What it means is as follows. Hashem made the world in such a way where He prepares for you everything. He gives you your neshama. He gives you everything you need. He gives the candle, He gives the wicks, He gives the oil, He gives everything you need. But He made the world in such a way that you have to do one thing. You have to be the madlik. You have to light. That's the only thing you have to do. Everything is there. Everything's already done. And in truth, the candle was lit miraculously anyway. Because Baruch Hu, Hashem made the world in such a way that everything is prepared. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us through our Hashiveinu, our call of Hashiveinu, of Shema Yisrael, to finish up. But He did the whole thing already. In other words, He already, the menorah means everything is Shuv Eilai. It's already all there. Everything is there. Just like in Shuv Eilai, Hashem makes the first step. Here's the candle, here's the wick, here's the light, everything is here. Just light it. Just light. I'm giving you everything. Just light it. The whole avodah of human being in this world is Hadlakas and there. The whole avodah of a Jew in this world is just a light to get him, to make that move towards Hashem. To respond to Hashem. To light the candle that was already prepared because it was a miraculous thing. And the menorah itself is an amazing thing. So what happens with the menorah? So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to make the menorah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't know what to do. How do I start? I can't make this. So Hashem says, I made it. Here's a menorah. Throw it into the fire. It's a menorah. Now, you can't make a menorah. You can't do anything. You can't come back to me. You can't ask to be near me. The only reason that you have that thought and that feeling to even have a menorah is because I'm prepared to make it for you. Because I'm going to make it for you. Just like Hashem says, Shuv Eilai. That's the only reason that you're able to say Hashiveinu, because Hashem first told you Shuv Eilai. Because Hashem first was shining something upon you in the night. So therefore you could say, but the chesed of Hashem is that He makes it seem as if it's all your work. So you light the menorah, and Hashem says, look at that, what a good boy. You get the whole mitzvah. Here's a prize. And you say, I'm a good boy, I lit the menorah. Yeah, you're wonderful. You did the whole thing. That's not true. You hardly did anything. All you did was the smallest, tiniest little act, but everything else was all really... The menorah wasn't your menorah. The fire wasn't your fire. But Hashem says, you did the whole thing. When you're with your child, you love your child. So you know how it is. You do 99.9% of the thing, and you tell the kid move this over here, and the kid moves, and you say, oh, Gevaldik, what you did? Who? You made a fantastic thing. Like when my little daughter, when Chani, she comes back from nursery, she comes back with all these unbelievable art, you know, these creative art things. So I said, you made that, Chani? Who? Well, she made it. So you have like 45 murras over there, that you know that they come with all these projects. And the kid brings home like this, you know, like the Anani HaKovid. Like all these wonderful things. What does the kid do? The teacher says, come over here, press this thing. And the kid is like that. Says, whoa, Gewaldig, you made the whole thing. So the Rishna says that the greatest kindness of Hashem is that He makes you feel as if you did the whole thing yourself. And Hashem gives this reward as if you did the whole thing. Really, it's all shuvay lie. Really, it's Hashem talking to us and pulling us and kvetching and giving different ways until we say, Hashiveinu Hashem alechem l'shuv, and Hashem says, that's amazing. You, Mamas, started. I didn't say a word. You started. Mamas, you didn't start. The Rishna was telling you already for a long time, Mizmal Dov, Mizmal Dov. After 20 years, you say, the David Mizmer. He says, that's unbelievable. Wow. You did that. No one helped you. You know, you hear such a thing, if you could kiss the Baruch Hashem, to give him a kiss for such a thing. It's such a wonderful thing that Hashem does for us. And he pays you the schar that you did the whole thing yourself. You're such a good boy. You're such a good girl. It's all your own job. I never helped you. You went to head mamish in the darkness. And that's the guitar. Hashem is giving you little things in the darkness all the time. And until you say, Hashiveinu Hashem alechem l'shuv, the Baruch Hashem is gevaldik. That's your chiddush. So when it comes to the menorah, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't know how to do that. So Hashem says, you could do it, throw it into the fire. Says, wow, that's pretty good. It's a neat thing. And you throw the stuff into the fire, it's a menorah. So Moshe says, look at that, it's a nice menorah, no? It's a beautiful menorah, look at this menorah I made. It's fantastic. Well, menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu made the menorah. He lit the candles. Aaron HaKohen, it's not. It's all from the Baruch Shalom. Oh, that's the chesed, that's the chazdei Hashem. It's chazdei Hashem. And that's what the Novi says in the Haftarah. The Novi Zechariah says, when he saw the mystery of redemption, the Novi Zechariah says, in the vision of the menorah, Lo b'chayl v'lo b'kayak im beruchi. You should know that all that you do in this world is not b'chayl, not b'kayak. It's not with your own strength. It's not with your own power. It's kim beruchi. It's with my ruach. It's with my koch. Before he died, before he died, the Abt Rav, the Oiv Yisrael, Rav Yeshua Heschel from Abt, from the Gedoyle Chassidus, before he died, for some time before he died, we're told that he was, I don't use the word depressed, but he was not himself. And and they didn't know what to do. I mean, he wasn't talking, he didn't seem to be besimcha, they didn't know what to do. So they were all excited because one day, there was a very important visitor that came to Abt, or to Mezhbish. It was the end of the life, he was in Mezhbish. There was a very important visitor that came to Mezhbish. It would be Saul from Rizhin. But the Rizhiner was a young man, but it was known that the Abt Rav absolutely adored the Rizhiner. He loved the Rizhiner. And everybody was so excited because they said, oh, Rabbi Yisrael is here, the Rishner is here. So the Oiv Yisrael, you know, the Apter, the old Rebbe is going to have some simcha. So right away they went over to the Rishner, they said, listen, Rebbe, the Apter Rav, the Rebbe is mamish, like he just seems to be in some sort of a darkness. And, you know, pull him out. So the Rishner went into the Apter Rav. And Apter Rav was talking, sitting there with his head down, he was upset. So the Rishner asked him, Rabbi, why are you so sad? Why are you crying? So listen to what it says in the Sfarim that Dr. Rav said. This is a long time ago. It was 190 years ago. Dr. Rav said, I see a time, there's going to come a time of such misery and such suffering that one Jew is going to be carrying a piece of wood to burn another Jew. And the other Jew is going to be schlepping a piece of wood to burn his friend. And there's going to be a time of such darkness and such suffering where one Jew is going to take a shovel to dig a hole to bury another Jew. And the other Jew is going to take a shovel in his hand to dig a hole to bury another Jew. How could I not cry? Stop the Rav saw what was going to happen in Europe. He saw.
he saw that there were going to be Jews digging for other Jews and preparing ovens for other Jews. So the Mishnah said, but Rabbi, it says in the Gemara that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were told that if they don't worship the idol, they'd be thrown into the, with Nebuchadnezzar, they'd be thrown into the fire. They jumped into the fire. And the Gemara says that had they been tortured, in other words, had they not been thrown into the fire, had they been given the choice of being tortured, they would not have been able to withstand such a test. So you see, the vision is said, Rebbe, you see, that Hashem never gives us suffering that we can't take. Just like Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they were never tested in such a way that they couldn't overcome the test, that they couldn't succeed. So they were thrown into the fire. That they were able to do, to go right into the fire, that they thought they were going to die immediately. They would not have been able to have a slow, painful death. So you see, Rebbe, the vision is said, but Rebbe, so you see, that no matter what it is that you see, no matter what the Jewish people are going to go through, that Hashem will never give them a test that they can't bear. So they say that Abdur Rav grabbed the vision by his beard. And he said, Al Eila ani boichia. It's because of this that I cry. You're trying to comfort me, but it's because of this I cry. Because who more than I knows the power of the Jewish people to bear pain without crying? who knows more than I the unbelievable tolerance level of the Jewish people to go through suffering and not to scream out that it's enough? And it's because of this I cry. The Jews will tolerate that also. And there's no end until Jews stop tolerating the pain. And the Rebbe didn't mean to say that we shouldn't, God forbid, have faith in Hashem. Rabbi Nachman said, Yidden Shrei Gewalt, the Jews should scream out Gewalt. Means we're coming to a time, sometimes when things are going, when things seem to lapse into a sort of a, things are a little bit easier, and you feel like it's not the night anymore, so you lose your chesed to scream out Hashiveinu Hashem Lecha Neshuva. So each person, each one of us individually, each one of you and myself are going through such a hesed upon him, such a concealment that we're living through right now. We just don't realize it because we have Shomer Shabbos grocery. There's a new Shomer Shabbos grocery that opened up in the neighborhood. It's a gewaldig thing. As long as there's parking, I'm not upset. If there's no parking, it's a hesed upon him. If there's parking, it's a heres upon him. But so far, like, Anochi Haster Haster, we don't even know it's a hesed upon him. So you didn't have to shry gewalt, have to scream out that it hurts, that the hesed upon him hurts. We have to start to scream out Hashiveinu Hashem Alechem Leshuva. Because the only reason that all of this hesed upon him surrounds us is that we should, the only reason we're surrounded by the night, by darkness, is that we should scream out Hashiveinu Hashem Alechem. Because Hashem's telling us in every single moment of our lives, Shuva Elai. Hashem should give us the koyach, the strength, not to bear anymore, not to tolerate anymore, but to beg for a geula, to beg for redemption. So everybody thinks, oh, it's a wonderful thing, so now we no longer have a Malchus Harisha in Eretz Yisrael. So no longer have, so we have so many seats in the Knesset, it's gewalt. It's already, we don't even need Mashiach. We already have so many seats, so Mashiach will have one more seat. The whole thing is a ziyuf, it's a falsification, the whole thing is not true. It says, Al Kisa Lo Yeshev Zar, I don't care if there are 25 members of Knesset that are from, if there are 50 and everybody has a long beard and pace, it's not Mashiach. Until that day, we can't become confused. We have to scream out, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. This is still not enough. We're happy. It's a step in the right direction. But it's not enough. Not until Mashiach is sitting on his throne. Not until Mashiach is sitting on his throne. Mashiach will sit on his throne, then we'll say, B'seder. That's okay. That's good. So we should be zoche, Mr. Hashem, to see that day very, very quickly. We should be zoche, each one of us should have a geula, befrat, a geulas ha-nefesh, a geulas ha-guf, mehev yameinu amein v'amein.